Good evening, Harvest family.
Good evening.
We're glad you're here. Anybody get a nap this afternoon? I attempted and failed, but I got a little reading done. But good, glad you got some rest. Nice and warm this week. Wonderful service this morning. Good to have some visitors with us and this morning, as well as some return visitors. Also good to have some visitors with us tonight. Make sure you get by and visit with them. And I think we have husband and wife and cousin. They just moved here in the Buckeye area from Romania. And sister's here to visit, so it's good to have them. So we shared a few words in Romanian that we vaguely remember. I scrambled in with the Slovak and Russian, sometimes trying to get three languages separated. I still have a hard time with English most days, so you folks already know that. But we're glad you're here tonight. Let's go ahead and stand together. We'll open and have a word of prayer. And look forward to service tonight and sing our first song as Brother Chair begins to come. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Father, we ask that you meet with us tonight. Help us attentively on purpose to prepare our hearts and minds for the teaching tonight, Father, that we might learn and glean from the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Leonard, would you please ask God's blessing on our tithes and offering tonight?
Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful, glorious day. Father, we know, even though it is warm, Father, we know that you are with us, and Father, that you will protect us from the heat. And Father, we ask that with the upcoming days, with the extended period of time, with the dangerous heat, Father, that you continue to watch care over this church family and our visitors, Father, and Father, not only for physical needs, but for mechanical needs, Father, that we keep machinery running. And Father, we give you thanks for that ahead of time, because we know that you care and love us and care for us. But Father, right now, we just want to take time to take a love offering for you, Father, for the ministries that we support and for our church needs. Father, we it's a blessing and a privilege for us, Father, to take the offering here and to freely give a portion of what you have given to us this week. And we thank you for it, Father. Accept it with our love back to you as our great God, Father. Thank you in Jesus' precious name.
Disappointments and answers are so hard to find. There is one you can always depend on to walk every step by your side. Every cry strength that you need. There's a deep settled peace when you know him. You can rest just knowing he cares. No matter what's waiting before you, he every cry is heard by the Father. Not one tear from your eye goes unseen. He lovingly cares for his children. Let his love be the strength that you need. Let his love be the strength that you need.
Thank you, Miss Marlene. Every Bible's tonight, your handouts, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number, 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and while you are turning there and getting you ready, let's take just a moment. Does anybody have a blessing? Amen! I didn't have to say jumping up and down, got to tell somebody, Brother Sam was ready to go. We're overcomers, amen. Amen. All right. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, and we know that wasn't your intent. So, you think that was bad, wait till the next update. Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. For those of you visiting with us tonight, every so often we have a prophecy update. And Brother Smith usually does that. And we had one this morning. And we'll have another one here a little in the few coming weeks ahead of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 through 3. And we've been looking at, do you really know what you believe, being the question. And then we've been looking at some doctrinal issues. And tonight we'll continue with the Holy Spirit, so more about the Holy Spirit. And I'll reemphasize again, I trust you're learning and learning something, being reminded or enjoying this study. But remember, it's mainly to give you a taste, an interest, a reminder to get in and read the scriptures. That's why I put them in the handouts and do a bit of a skeleton outline for you to go back as well as to study and to search the scriptures as you study the Word of God. So let's go ahead and read our text, have a word of prayer, and we'll get started tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentile, that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Father, bless the reading of your word and our time of a little further study tonight on the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd help me, and I pray that you'd encourage us together as a church family as we study together and learn together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have our question, and as always, if we get drawn out a little more of a discussion, make sure you hold on to your handout to pick up next week, and I'll add to as needed. But our question tonight, before we continue, is what is it about the Holy Spirit that is especially or have a significant meaning to you? And we'll take a few comments if anybody would like to say anything. What is it about the Holy Spirit that is especially meaningful to you? Very similar to a question a few weeks ago, but we'll rehash it. Brother Sam. Yes, amen. Well, I tell you what, isn't it comforting? I don't know about you. Getting under conviction is uncomfortable, but at the same time, it's praiseworthy. Because I belong to Him, there because I am under conviction. Brother Hutt. Amen. Amen. What a blessing to know. It's meaningful because of his conviction, and his conviction brought salvation. We'll have another question a little bit later as we go. So 2 weeks ago, I think it was, we started developing, probably a four-part message concerning the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We have talked about the personality of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about the produce of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to move forward in our study by focusing more on practical things about the Spirit of God. So why the practical things? Well, because the Holy Spirit, here's our first set of blanks, the Holy Spirit equips believers to live for the Lord. And that's what our goal ought to be. Knowing, but he equips believers to live for the Lord. So when I was developing this and going over it, I thought of Brother Sam, As I look about this, Holy Spirit equips believers to live for the Lord. And I made the comment about our pool filter needing to be clean. And he said, and he was there, he goes, yes, Pastor, you're going to need this, this, and this. In other words, he's done it enough that he's equipped, that he knows when he goes out to work on the pool filter, to take it apart and to clean it. He knows exactly the two or three tools that he needs to get the job done. And we need to be reminded that it's the Holy Spirit that equips us and that helps us to live for the Lord. He provides all the tools, all the equipment, all the knowledge, and the words that we need as we need them. So, are we believers that love the Lord, that honor the Lord, and that serve the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us and not focusing or trying or attempting to do things in the flesh? So, as we move here, number one tonight, the provision of the Holy Spirit, the provision of the Holy Spirit in verse 1. Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So here's my question for this portion. Why are spiritual gifts so important to the life or in the life of the believer? Why are spiritual gifts so important in the life of the believer? Any comments? Any answers to that? Why? Yes, Michelle? Helps us edify the body of Christ, Ms. Marley. Amen. So every once in a while, I'll meet a pastor, I'll meet a missionary, I'll meet an evangelist, I'll meet a Christian who's just really well put together and that I love in the Lord, but I just don't like. I mean, they're handsome, they speak well, they can sing. I mean, it's like they can do everything. And at the same time, we need to remember, God doesn't give us every gift, but he gives each of us a gift to be used for the glory of God, to use in some way. If we don't know our gift, we're not sure about our gifts, we need to be praying and seeking. And surprisingly, ask a friend. Ask your pastor. They may have recognized some things in you that can be developed that maybe that you have not recognized or seen yourself. So letter A is concerning the provision of the Holy Spirit. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives spiritual gifts to believers. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in our same chapter here, a little later in verses 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, or one at a time as he will. I'm so grateful that we have a desire to learn and to go and to serve the Lord, that he provides gifts. I'll tell on myself. I remember we went to the mission field, and God called us to the mission field. My first thought to myself, I'm still learning English. My grammar is horrible. If it wasn't for spell check, it wasn't for my computer, and sometimes, and I've learned a little bit, and sometimes I argue and think it's still wrong, but it keeps underlining it red or green. But needless to say, and I thought when the Lord called me to the mission field, how am I going to learn another language? I mean, goodness, with English, we basically learn, I believe, is it four cases in the English language that we basically, I think it's four. And then in Russian, it's like 16, and I can't remember how many there is in Romanian. I think there's four or six. And trying to learn another language and putting things together and in my head trying to decipher. And I can remember after studying for a while and learning and making mistakes, I realized that, hey, God has called me here. He's going to help me. I just need to quit worrying so much about trying to get all this in and study and read my Bible and do what I can. And it wasn't too long that the Lord did help me, grammar mistakes and all, to begin preaching in the Russian language. However, I knew that I could not do it without the help of the Lord, but also knew that I could do it because God had called me there and put me there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, and referring back to what Ms. Marlene said, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, it's not that every believer has a gift, but it is that every believer is gifted by the Spirit of God. Every believer is responsible to use his or her gift or gifts for the glory of God and for the good of the church today and for the church body today. Are we exercising and using our gifts? Part of the reason why I wanted to get more men involved and more families involved in ministry, starting with ushering or some other areas, and finding out where your gifts are. And believe me, I realize that I am not gifted in singing. I look forward to the first Sunday of the month because real men sing loud. I can sing loud and enjoy myself. There's others around me that will drown me out. I just enjoy singing and worship for the Lord. But we have gifts that we should use. A gift of hospitality, a gift of giving, the gift of encouraging. And the list goes on and on that we've read that the Lord can use as we minister unto others. So not only he gives spiritual gifts to believers, but letter B, he gives special gifts to churches. He gives special gifts to churches. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which is every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. See, Christian leaders can be a gift, but it really depends on the hearts behind it. And that's why it's so important of the church body that is selecting leadership, that is selecting a pastor, that is selecting missionaries and that are in sync with the Lord, then it will be gifted with the right pastors and teachers in their ministry. See, if the leadership that has been selected maintains the right heart and the right attitude, then it can be used to grow the body spiritually and to grow the body in unity. Yes, it's nice to see numbers, but the priorities should be spiritual and unity and allow God to bring in the numbers in other areas. So we see here tonight the provision of the Holy Spirit. He gives spiritual gifts. He also gives gifts to the church. And then number two, we see the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. We'll turn together, and I didn't put this text in our handout tonight, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and I'll read that. Ephesians 4, 30. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Here is our question for this section tonight. In what ways does the Holy Spirit seal the child of God? Again, think about these questions, whether we talk about tonight or not, but through the week as you study and think about it, in what ways does the Holy Spirit seal the child of God? I am so grateful that my salvation is not dependent upon me doing right all the time. Because I live in a body of flesh. I'm glad that I am sealed. I'm glad my Lord forgives. I'm glad that I can go to him and ask for forgiveness to be restored. But my relationship does not change. Letter A, the seal of ownership. The seal of ownership, referring to the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." It's not part of the lesson tonight, but isn't how it's so important as believers that we need to depart from sin. We need to depart from iniquity, but the seal of ownership. We belong to him. He belongs to us. Letter B, the seal of identification. The seal of identification, it goes along with letter C, the seal of security. Both here the same verses. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Letter B and C, the seal of identification and the seal of security. Ephesians 1, 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is in the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. I am so glad that I am sealed and secure in Christ. I'm afraid if we're not careful, we'll allow some other churches, some other beliefs to allow us a point to think that we're afraid to speak about or to afraid to talk about being filled or indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But we are, and we need to allow the Lord to work in us and to work through us. Letter D, the seal of righteousness. Here in Romans 4:11, we see Paul talking, referring to Abraham. And he, referring to Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. Yet he might be the father of them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. See, the Holy Spirit seals believers and enables both the Jew and the Gentile to receive righteousness through Christ. Letter E. The seal of down payment. The seal of down payment. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and verse 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The seal of ownership, the seal of identification, the seal of security and of righteousness, the seal of a down payment. Dear friends, don't miscount the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't miscount the Holy Spirit and his desire to work in you and through you. I think too often, if we're not careful as Baptists, are afraid of that aspect of being filled or of being renewed in the Holy Spirit. The provision of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And then letter three, this is one that we're really afraid of, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, we'll read that in just a moment. So here's our question. What are some of the ideas you have heard relative to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Huh? You have to speak in tongues. Michelle, you don't get the Holy Spirit until you've been baptized. We hear some of these things from other people, other practices of other faith. Anyone else? Oh.
It doesn't apply anymore. It was just a special dispensation.
Yes. So we don't need to be, again, we'll get to this moment. We just remember, it's so easy, and I'll probably say this later. I may not get the wording right. We're not to be led by our emotions and try to explain things by our emotions, but we're to let the Bible to explain our emotions that we have, going by Scripture and what the Bible has to say. Letter A, it is a saving baptism, a saving baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Here the word baptized means to dip, to immerse, to submerge, to overwhelm. In other words, fully submerge when we refer to water baptism. That's what happens when a person trusts Christ. He is immersed into the person of Jesus Christ. And he becomes part of the family of God. The day we get saved, we get all that we're going to get. We're going to grow spiritually by referring to the Holy Spirit. We are to grow spiritually. We are to get into the Word and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But here this refers to, it is a saving baptism. It is something that happens to every born-again believer. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This passage here, we find both spiritual and water baptism in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Verse 3 is what happens to everyone that trusts Christ as their personal Savior. They are baptized into his death. But in verse 4 is what we're supposed to do as a result of our spiritual baptism. And it's a picture through our water baptism. We are buried unto a death representing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter tells us in 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is, as we refer to, a saving baptism. And then also it can be very much so a confusing baptism. A confusing baptism. Some have claimed that the baptism of the Spirit gave them the ability, as Cheryl said, to speak in tongues. Others have said it gave them the ability to heal or to cast out demons. The problem here is that people are using their experience, as I mentioned earlier, to understand the Bible rather than using the Bible to understand their experience. It's so important that we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. I can't remember if it was here in the church or with the men on a Tuesday morning, but I remember some time ago being in a church while back in the States visiting, and I made the mistake of visiting a church because I was curious at that time about the emergent church and what was going on. We were on the mission field. I'd heard some things. I read some things, but I wanted to see for myself. And then we were at another church, very similar, visiting with family and attended a church. And what frustrated with me as I listened to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, there was no less than 8 different translations through the sermon. It came across as if he was looking for a translation to make his point that he wanted to present, as opposed to using the Word of God to lay out the points of Scripture and present to his people. Allow the Bible to understand your experiences. Allow the Bible to interpret for you what God is saying. And as we've been looking at and studying on Sunday morning, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, beloved, believe not every spirit. Remember, we covered this several weeks ago. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you have heard it, that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, when we take the Bible at face value and when we read the Bible in context, it will clear up many confusing issues just like this one. That's why it's so important to know the Bible, to read the Bible, to study the Bible. I know a little briefer tonight than I thought I would be, but I hope some of this information will spur your appetite in digging into the Word and asking and looking at some of the questions that we asked tonight and asking simply you yourself, what are some of the ideas relative to what you heard to baptism of the Holy Spirit and what the Bible has to say about them. Also, the other question that we surfaced earlier from the beginning is simply, what is it about the Holy Spirit that is essentially meaningful to you? What is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Meaning is, are you allowing the Spirit of God not only to speak to you, but how are we responding? How are we listening? How I made someone mention to me in passing this morning as we left the church and thanked me for the message this morning and said, you know, preacher, I need to get with you sometime this week because I've been fighting and I've been wrestling the Holy Spirit. And the problem is I've been wrong because I shouldn't have been wrestling. I should have been yielding and should have been giving in and doing what the Holy Spirit would have me to do. So we have to ask ourselves, what does the Holy Spirit do for you? What is it that is meaningful to you? Why are spiritual gifts so important in the life of the believer? So, not going to ask you to give me the answer. Just going to ask you to raise a hand if you would like to respond after we put our hands down. I'll take a moment to allow you. But how many of you think you know what some of your gifts are? Anyone like to share what you feel some of your gifts are? Or would like to develop more that you know that the Spirit is leading you, the Lord has worked with you, that you've been involved? Maybe you need to allow the Holy Spirit to develop some of those things. Gentlemen, would you agree that's one of Brother Dave's gifts? Amen. Done a great job in Sunday school. Great job. Did I see another hand? Michelle? Teaching and hospitality. Michelle, I love that Michelle has a gift of hospitality because I like to eat and she likes to cook. I enjoy that. Brother Leonard? Encouragement. Oh, how, you know, that's something I think a gift that we all really, if we don't think we have, I believe we can develop it. It's really, I mean, who doesn't like to be encouraged? Why not encourage others? Take a part, look for an opportunity, look for something to say or to do, or to anonymously leave a note in someone's Bible or in their chair where they normally sit, just to encourage them. That's very much encouraging as well, knowing that others are willing to help when they see a need and getting involved. So that's also another of insight in recognizing a help that is a need, someone needing help and stepping in. Was there another? Amen. When we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we are sealed. But when we take that first step of obedience and follow the Lord with a believer's baptism, I believe then is when we begin to learn, to grow, because we've got to take that first step of obedience unto the Lord where He can work in and through our lives. Amen. We hinder the Holy Spirit, and we read a passage of Scripture tonight referring to iniquity, Christians with iniquity with sin. We hinder and we squelch or quench the Holy Spirit when we have sin in our life. And we quench the Holy Spirit at work in our congregation when there's those with known sin in their life or bitterness or frustration that quench it. That's why it's so important. The Holy Spirit there lives within, but are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign in our life? We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and bring conviction, help us to learn, help us to grow, and then respond to those things when He convicts us. Because when we kick against the pricks, as the Lord had the discussion with the Apostle Paul, and we do that and we refer and we resist, we're resisting, we're hindering the Holy Spirit and working in and through our lives. And again, a form of disobedience. But taking that first step, as Brother Darrell shared when he got baptized, is a big, huge step in following Christ and allowing the Lord to work in our lives. Because if we can't demonstrate our love and obedience in the first thing the Lord asks us to do, how can He entrust us with anything else? Whether it be spiritual gifts or leadership and walking and serving the Lord. So before we close, let me ask you this. Rhetorical question, don't raise your hands. Are you using your spiritual gifts here at Harvest Baptist Church? Are you using your gifts in serving the Lord? Do you have other gifts that need to be developed that you might serve? Because if you think about it, God has given us those gifts. They're not for us to keep to ourselves. They're to minister unto others. Whether it's singing in the choir, special music, helping around the church, the things that we do. We've got many people who do all of those things that are involved, and I'm grateful, but there might be other areas that they are gifted in, that you are gifted in. I have learned real quick as a pastor, I don't need to do everything. I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. I don't want to be the most gifted person in the room. I want others around me that are gifted, that are talented, have a desire to serve the Lord, because that sharpens me. It pushes me in my study and my preparation as I prepare to preach and teach the Word of God. We've got some families in our church that I know that are digging in the Scripture and know the Word of God. That encourages me and challenges me to study to get into the Word, because I want to make sure when I'm teaching that I'm not always putting the jelly on the bottom shelf for Dr. Mel over here. I want to make sure that I'm putting it up a little bit higher where he's learning and gleaning something. I want to make sure that others that may be new in the Lord that have recently trusted Christ on occasion, to put it a little bit lower in my teaching and going back and forth to make sure they are getting it and absorbing it as well. So how are we doing in the area of sharing our gifts and ministering to one another here in our church? Brother Mel?
I was just going to say, I don't bend down as well as I used to be, because I appreciate it.
Amen. Well, the Lord bless you as always. God loves you and His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Study your outline. Go over the scriptures or verses. Ask the Lord to help you and recognize what your gifts are. And then take a step further and say, Lord, what other gifts would you desire to develop in me that I might bless my church family, I might bless the ministry here at Harvest, and be used of you in reaching others for Christ? Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the blessing and joy of service and fellowship. Father, we thank you so much, Father, for a beautiful building and a nice cool room to come in out of the heat for spend a time of fellowship and worship and Bible study. Lord, help us not take for granted the things that you so liberally have bestowed upon us. And Father, help us to take the gifts that we have and that we know we have and to develop them. Help us to recognize other gifts that you may be trying to impart in our lives, that we might see them and try to develop and use them, that we might bring honor and glory to you as we serve one another in our church. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Give us a great work week this week. Help us to be busy about serving you and telling others about Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Lord bless you. You're dismissed.